Today on Real Radio.
The psalmist writes, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called You Need to Know. For the first few lessons in this series, our chief text will be Romans 13:11. Though we'll be exploring a lot of different passages. Now, if you're a true believer, then knowing what you believe and why is critical. The good news? Our Lord speaks to us through His Word. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
Yahweh or Yahweh. This is the name of God. Remember, God is a title. That's not His name. What's your name? God. That's not a name. God is a title. If somebody says, "What's your name?" Pastor. That's not my name. People will ask me when they meet me, "What do we call you?" Jack. It's my name. God doesn't say, "Call me God. I kind of need to hear it." No, He doesn't. He is God. No one needs to convince Him. Listen, are you sitting down? Are you listening? He is the only God that is. He is the only God among all the idol gods of the universe that says, "And this is my name. My name is Yah." We would say Yehovah or Yahweh. The God of the Bible says, "I am God and this is my name. My name is Yah." The word Yah is root to the word salvation. His name is, in a sense, I save. I save. That's my nature. Isn't that awesome? I want you to know me, your God, and I'm going to tell you my name. He's knowable. We'll get into that in a few weeks, I think. But anyway, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the God who made you, Paul is speaking, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built with human hands. He's announcing to the Athenians all their various gods. And Paul says, not the God I worship. All these gods bow down, fall down at the name of my God, Yah. Psalm 103, get ready to write these down. This is fun stuff. The word Yahweh, or the name Yahweh, by the way, technically means the one who is self-existent, self-eternal, self-contained. He is the God who saves. He is altogether self-existing. That means He exists timelessly without any limitation. He has always been. You know, in a few weeks we'll get into this about Him not being created or the uncreated God. A lot of people are talking about this today, that we don't believe in God because if God created everything, then who created your God who created everything? And if you don't think much, that sounds like a good challenge. But that question that you're hearing on the college campus today, "Oh yeah? I can't believe in that because who created your creator?" How many times do we have to tell you? We don't worship idols. Idols are made by the hands of man. We worship an uncreated God. He's eternal. And in that, He saves. You want some more verses about this name of His, Yah? Psalm 68:4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. How beautiful is that? Now, we come to this next point about our God. You need to know the fact that the God of the Bible is the omniscient God, that he is God, the omniscient God. It means he absolutely knows everything. The word omniscience is that he knows all. The Bible teaches over and over again that God knows everything. You might want to write this down because it's a whole lot of fun. In the study of God, which is theology, theo is God, and ology is words, or words of God, or words about God, or the study of God, or you can say the science of studying God, theology. Check this out. In theology, the God of the Bible, his nature is revealed in the scriptures. And this is fun. Listen, I'm not making this up. That part of his characteristics is in him being all-knowing is that he knows all things that are going to happen. In fact, for that matter, he knows all things that's happened, all things happening. Listen, all things that are going to happen. And if that doesn't blow your mind, like, for example, what are you going to do today? What's going to happen? What parking spot are you going to go to, park in? What's the next thing on the headlines of the news? He already knows all that. Isn't that wild? Now watch this. He not only knows that, but imagine yourself driving down a road and you come to a split in the road. There's a Y. And you have to decide. And you go, I'm going to go left. And you go left. And at the end of the road is a rainbow and a pot of gold. And you say, whew, thank God I made the right decision. I wonder what would happen if I would have turned right. God already knows what would have happened. You say, no, okay, now you're freaking me out. But I didn't turn to the right. I went to the left. That's right. But what if I wouldn't have went to the right? He would have known. That's right. He not only knows things that actually happened or is happening or shall happen, he knows things. This ought to fry your brain a moment. He knows things that if certain decisions would have been made a certain way and the outcome would have been different, he knows that too, even though it never actually happened. That's big. That ought to challenge your pity party of regrets. Or maybe you're sitting down right now and you're thinking, well, that person I married sitting next to me, I think I made the wrong decision. And I think, oh, well, and you know, they, stop, stop, stop. God knows all things. Trust him. If your marriage needs fixing, fix it. But don't stand around and point fingers. Just get it fixed. Trusting that God, if he knows everything, and we know him right now, then he's on our side. This can get worked out. God is all-knowing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. By the way, remember, Jesus in personification is the word of God, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. God knows your motives. I don't even know my motive. You don't know yours either. God knows our motives. Isn't that amazing? And the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There'll be a day when I have to stand before God, and his eyes will look through me and know even my motives. Why I said what I said. Why did I do this? What was behind me walking the little old lady from Pasadena across the street? Was it to get my face in the paper? Was it to have her think highly of me? Why did you put that money in the offering when you're thinking, oh man, oh, this is going to kill me. I can't believe it. And then you smile and put a nickel in the offering. What are you doing? God knows the motive. God would say, take it back. That's all fake. Think of it. The motive. You and I don't even know our motives. Why we do what we do? God knows the deep recesses of the truth of that. Why do we say what we say? Why do we look the way that we look? What are we trying to do? God knows. Does that kind of terrify you in a moment? For a moment? It terrifies me too. Do you see how much we need him? Yes. He knows everything. You might be here today saying, I don't believe in God. This is a bunch of baloney and all this kind of, I know. I used to be like you. But just know this. He's listening to every word you're saying as you spout out against him. And you know what's amazing? He still puts up with you. Nobody else will put up with you. But he's still putting up with you. The mouth that you're cursing him with, he gave you the mouth. Can you imagine if he just said, you know, I'm kind of tired of hearing this. And he takes your lips off. Could you imagine? I want those lips back. Can you imagine? The fist that is shaking at God. He made that fist. He gave you that fist. And there's going to be a day when he's going to require those things back. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with all the stuff I gave you? What stuff? Oh, your toes, eyeballs, nose, face, your very existence. No matter what condition you're in, your very existence. I had a plan for your life. I was born maimed and crippled, and I had an existence for your life. You would never think of me. You would never call out to me. You shook your fist at me. I had a plan for you, and all you did was resist me. He's the eternal God. He's the all-knowing God. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Psalm 139:1. Psalm 139 is one of the most wonderful psalms in the entire Bible. Listen to this. Psalm 139:1. Written before they had, by the way, microscopes and all that stuff. O Lord, O Yah, you have searched me and known me. You have known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Isn't that wild? Before the thought hits your head, God knows it's coming. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Wow. Could God even be talking about he knows us on a molecular structure, even down to the point of the thought life? Absolutely. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Here it is. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Is this your God? Is this the God you worship? Well, no wonder why we come here to sing him songs. You look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and no wonder why you're driving down the street saying, God, what a sunset! Right? Everything all of a sudden is, you're amazing. If you know my thoughts and if you are acquainted with all of my ways, God, thank you for the shade that this tree is giving me right now. All of a sudden, you and I are transformed into a thankful, appreciative, grateful human being. We need to focus on that with the way the world is going. God knows everything about what's happening in our nation, both known and secret, and the world. He's not rattled. He's not nervous. He knows all. Then look, there's the omnipresence of God. You need to know that the God of the Bible is omnipresent. He's not only all-knowing. The God of the Bible is the only one who's all-knowing, but he's all, listen, all-present. The omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. As a Christian, he is always with you. Think about that for a moment. As a Christian, now I want to be very clear. I need to make sure that you hear this rightly. God is everywhere, says the Bible. So for the Christian and the non-Christian, standing or sitting side by side, God is here. Oh, by the way, when you go home today, he's going to be going with you too. In fact, when you open the door and you walk into your house, he's already there. He's everywhere. Think of that for a moment. He's everywhere. I think he kind of flirts with us about some of these realities. Think of air. Without a vacuum, air is everywhere. Think of it. When you go home, you're still going to have air. So think of it that way. It's kind of pathetic, but God's bigger than air. But you know what I'm saying? Check this out. But there's something different that happens to a Christian regarding the omnipresence of God. Only by accepting Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, does this all-present God do something that seems to be vacant. Is it possible, I think it is, that out of God's amazing filling of the universe and eternity and beyond, there's only one place where there seems to be a vacuum or a void of the presence of God. And it seems to be inside the non-believer. It seems as though inside of a person, now we're flirting with the physical realm, the spiritual realm, and in the fact that a non-believer can say, God, I do believe in you now, and I repent, I agree, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to save me, Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and 16, I will come inside of you. I will suggest this morning, I think that's the greatest miracle in all of the universe, is that the all-encompassing God who dwells in eternity and in this physical realm fills a void only by invitation. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I know we all know somebody who thinks our God is a big, bad God, mean, slapping people around, throwing people into hell with the barbecue thing going on. Oh, man, let's burn people. That's insane. That's Satan's propaganda. The God of the Bible pleads with you to let him in. And it seems as though he's not satisfied to dwell in the universe and right here. There's something about him. He's dying to get inside of you. He died to get inside of you. And he won't come in. Listen, he's not going to barge his way in. He's not going to get a battering ram. He's not going to say, you know what? Get on your knees and confess my name three times or I'm going to kill you. He says, will you accept me? You accept him or not? Listen, can you imagine sending Jesus, sending the Holy Spirit, sending God away from you? Leave me. Some people are still saying, the God of everywhere. God, where were you in that? I was there. And God could turn right around and say, listen, where were you on that moment of invitation? Where were you when I wanted to get inside of your life and save you forever and take you to heaven? Where were you? It's amazing. Psalm 139 again, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? The psalmist writes, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Try to run from God. Go, run. Can you imagine? Jonah tried that. Didn't work. God is here. God is everywhere. God is within his creation and he's outside of his creation. And it's a bit terrifying to think. So in light of that, I wrote this down because this means something to me. I hope it means something to you. And the fact that God is ever present and always calling out to you, I thought of this. Someday, there'll be those. It's a terrifying thought that as a non-believer or a non-Christian, he's always near the non-believer, always near the non-Christian, but not in them, right? If he was in them, you would be a Christian. The word Christian is not a club member. It's not a card-carrying person. A follower of Jesus. And so I thought, can you imagine the person who someday is going to realize that they missed him by their own doing, that they were almost a believer? Oh. Don't we hear that in the book of Acts? Paul, please, quiet down. You almost make me a Christian. There'll be those in eternity saying, I was almost a believer. I was almost a follower of Jesus. I was almost, you know, I was almost saved once. Could you imagine? I was almost forgiven. I almost made it to heaven. I was almost a Christian. Can you imagine somebody saying, you know, I'm almost pregnant. Can you imagine living this life and almost being a Christian? In Acts 17:27, Paul warned the Athenians and he said, so that they should seek the Lord, he preached to them, in the hope that they might, the word grope means to feel like a blind man, that they might feel for him and find him. The word there means to grasp on, to hold tight onto him, to seize him, though he is not far from each one of us. Think. I'm not asking you to consider this church. Forget about this church. I'm not asking you to join some denomination. It will do you no good. Today's the baptism. Don't get baptized. Unless Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Born from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And so you think today, think. Do you hope to get to heaven? Really? You're hoping? In what? What's your answer to that? Church attendance, the money you give, your politeness, your morality? You think you're okay with God. You think you're okay with God. I thought we read in 1 John 5:13, these things were written that you might know. Oh, have you taken the humanistic Kool-Aid that is, you know, my good will outweigh my bad in the end? Where's that in the Bible? In fact, I don't mean to freak you out at all, but based on that, there could be a lot of good people in hell. The only way you can get to heaven is if you're declared perfect. What? Yeah, declared perfect by God, who looks at the sacrifice of Jesus and takes his merit and places it upon all those who put their trust in Jesus. Because we who are not perfect cannot start at the place of imperfection and ever be perfect. And so God in his love inserts his Son into our lives. And all of a sudden, you can be a mugger, a murderer, a good person, a whatever, anything, whatever, and listen, be saved. Why? Because God puts the righteousness of his Son upon you. This is the God of the Bible. These things you must believe to be in heaven. Do you believe it?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at some scripture passages that give us insight into the fundamental tenets of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of studies through 2 Corinthians. And since we've had a whole lot of Real Radio listeners calling in, emailing, and asking about it, we've decided to extend an offer. Get this. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series of 2 Corinthians all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.